going back to our previous topic of discussion, like you mentioned the age is not going to be on Rick's side, right?
Right, right.
I'm a little worried about that because I've already got a dangly ball bag.
Right, right.
And so I'm like, man, I do not want to be tripping over this thing as I'm getting older.
Are you thinking about getting cosmetic surgery to like a shorten your ball
nip
sack?
And tuck?
I think I might just use like some of Sarah's hair ties and just like imagine a ponytail, but for my ball sack.
Okay, so like the only way I can imagine that working is you're gonna like have to like fold it up and then like take the fold of skin and wrap the hair tie around that fold so that like you've now got two ball sacks essentially, like an empty one and the other empty one where your balls used to be.
I could do that, or I could take my wiener and like
wrap
just
it around.
align it up, right? So like I got the hair tie going around right under the tip. And it's got as much ball bag as possible wrapped in there with it. So
right,
now
right.
I've just like shortened the ball sack by however, you know, by that length.
You know, you would think that there is be no way that I could segue this into any horror movie that we're talking about. But actually, Freddy Krueger's face kind of looks like an empty ball sack. So you could kind of make this work of like that's sort of just what his head is.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm so happy you picked this movie. Hi, my name is Josh. I'm a analyst here in Nashville and I'm coming for you, bitch.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I'm the bastard son of 100 maniacs.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I've got knives coming out of my fingers.
And we're opinionated. And tonight, we're continuing our spooky month of May, but in October, which is the shittiest name for a October month of spooks we've ever come up with, by watching A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, came out in 1987. It currently has a 72 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
It was written by Wes Craven and Bruce Wagner and directed by Chuck Russell. It stars Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund, Craig Wasson, Patricia Arquette, and many others.
A psychiatrist familiar with knife-wielding dream demon Freddy Krueger helps teens at a mental hospital battle the killer who is invading their dreams.
Lawrence Fishburne's in this. Okay, I don't...
He is, actually, yeah.
Maybe I don't recognize Heather Langenkamp, and she's super popular, but I'll never understand why IMDb doesn't put, like, their clearly most popular actors up top.
Because he's a bit role. Like, he's not a big part of the movie.
Okay, I'll give it that then.
Yeah.
I've only seen Nightmare on Elm Street references throughout pop culture.
Okay, so you don't know like any of the actual lore of the thing beyond like the obvious.
I'm pretty sure, like, I know bits and pieces, again, that I've picked up from the lore, right?
Right.
I know that he can come and kill you in your dreams,
right.
And if you die in your dream, you die in real life.
Basically,
and then also that he's like Jason's aversion to water, he's got his aversion to fire. Right?
A little bit, yeah. Not. I don't think it's as prevalent, but it is there sometimes.
And also, and they may play it up for the references,
mm-hmm.
but I also feel like he's got that like Spider-Man-esque wisecracking, except that it's like cranked up for a serial killer.
Well, you say that, but actually that was not an original part of his character, and that's part of the reason we're watching 3 instead of 1 or 2. So in the first two Freddy movies, mm-hmm. they hadn't quite developed the full shtick yet. Like, there's definitely really interesting kills and interesting moments in the first
sure.
one. The second one's kind of eh, but the third one I think is where Freddy really becomes the like character that we know from pop culture. Like, this is the one where he really develops into that. And there's not really any continuity that involves two to speak of. There's a little bit with one. All you'll really need to know going into this, since you haven't seen any of them, is the survivor of the original movie, the one character who lived in that, returns mm-hmm. in this movie, and you'll
okay.
know who it is basically as soon as it
is
pops
it Johnny
up.
Depp?
It's not. Johnny Depp dies real bad.
Okay.
I
just know that he was in the first one.
If you've ever seen that kill where like you get the guy gets sucked into the bed and the bed like fountains
blood, yeah.
That's Johnny Depp. Yeah.
He didn't live through that one?
No, he did not survive being turned into a fountain from Diablo.
A blood fountain?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Caleb, have you ever seen any of these movies?
I think I've seen clips from the first one, and that's about it.
Okay.
There's one part, it might be what you're talking about with the blood fountain on the bed, or it might just be because there's lots of people dreaming
mm-hmm.
and sleeping that beds show up a lot.
Mm.
But the thought that comes to mind, I have this vague picture in my head of a bed and like a human silhouette on the bed, except for it's going through the bed, and there's like golden light spilling out of it, or something like that.
I think that that's the one where he's in the walls. That sounds more like it to me. And that's
also a
really good
clips.
Tale.
I've seen the in the walls clip.
Yeah.
Also, isn't this a series of movies that follows the very like stereotypical, like you got your jock, you got your stoner, and then the virgin's the last one. She's the pure lady who's the last one to survive till the very end.
Until they fuck.
I would say not
when you fuck in your dream, you fuck in real life.
This movie is not really that. There are definitely archetypical characters.
Isn't that the
but
first
it's not
one
that.
Though?
But the first one is pretty close to that. I wouldn't say it's quite that level because it's not really as focused on if you have sex, you die. But that's certainly an element that's in play.
If you have sex, you die.
But yeah, there it's
is that
it's
the porno parody?
I'm Freddy. I was born out of a Catholic sex ed class.
I have a big hand of dildo fingers.
Exactly. If I touch you, you die.
Well, you have fun, and then
after you come really hard.
Right,
to death.
I feel like you're veering off of the Catholic sex ed course. I feel like I don't think pleasure was really discussed much in those.
You have to put the dildo in your butt. You can't put it in your vagina because then God hates you.
You put your balls in your butt.
Bringing it back around to a conversation that we weren't recording yet for.
Well, you know.
Well, okay. I don't know much about it. I'm excited to see it. Let's go watch this movie. We'll be right back in just a minute. But before we go, Rick has published some work. He says he's still an aspiring author, but that's just because he's so humble. He's actually published several pieces of work. Rick, what's your most recent one you want everyone to go read?
Honestly, go read Fatespawn because it's finished. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to finish the publishing of my second book. I might continue to put it on Vella, or I might just publish it all as one. But you can find both of those on Amazon pretty easily. Just search either Fatespawn, Rick Vox, or Escape from Persephone 4.
Definitely check those out. Also, we are on Patreon. That's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content, including first impressions and listener requests. Guys, check that out. Again, that's patreon.com/opinionated. We'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Dun, dun, dun.
Street Part 3. Freddy's just around the corner.
I wish we had a studio where instead of being at this table, we were all in love sacks.
What is a love sack?
Look it up on your laptop. It's like a beanbag, but much better.
Is it just bigger? Because like my old roommate Zach used to have an enormous like closet-sized beanbag.
They're having beans in them, they're just gigantic pillows. And you can get them to be ridiculous sizes.
That sounds amazing.
But they are like, they take up a lot of space, but they embrace you just perfectly. As a teenager, I used to love just like do front flips and land in it.
Jeez.
I like that this place says $100 off for every $1,000 spent. That should tell you about how much those things are.
Yeah.
But it does look comfy as fuck.
Absolutely.
For every $1,000. Cool. Jeez.
It's only $1,000 for one of these.
Occasionally.
For the bad ones.
You like flip it on its side and give it some squishes to fluff it up a bit and just jump on it one more time. It's a great way to watch TV, play video games.
But enough about our wives.
I'll be honest. When I searched Love Sack, I thought that it'd be a little more questionable what came up, but no, Google was like, you only want to look at pictures of beanbags.
Right.
Like, thank you, Google.
You say beanbags, it's just balls forever.
Yeah, that's right. Giant dangly ball sacks.
Like Freddy Krueger's head.
And rest of his body.
Except with children's faces.
Yeah. Wait, your ball sack doesn't have children's faces on it?
I mean, those are on the inside.
Oh, okay, okay. I mean, yeah. Not
the husband provides the face,
and that's
and
it.
The wife provides the rest of the baby.
Just basic biology. Come on.
Oh my God, have you never heard of a Punnett square? I
mean, that's how impregnation works. Actually, it's just there's this little baby head that's in there, and that head just kind of swims up and just goes.
This is horrifying. This is far more horrifying than anything that was in the movie.
This movie is not really scary.
I mean,
all.
for a like. Late 80s horror movie, I think it's pretty good. Like, yeah. what I look for in that is, does it have a decent plot, and do the effects hold up at all? And I think in both regards, this movie is serviceable. It's not perfect. There's definitely flaws with it. But overall,
what's
I think
a really
it's fun.
Good 80s horror movie that makes this movie look bad?
I don't know, because I don't like a ton of horror movies. And Rick, while you're thinking, I will say that I think the reason it's not very scary or effective as a scary movie, like, I hate horror movies. That's on the record.
Sure.
But this was just, like, funny and campy.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons it is not nearly as scary as it could be is because the bulk of the tension comes from our heroes or the people that we're rooting for talking about Freddy in this movie as opposed to directly interacting with him. Like, yeah, like he pops up and kills and does creepy stuff throughout the movie, but it's in like 30-second bursts here and there as opposed to him being like a constant. Like, when I say he's not a constant threat, like, clearly everyone throughout the entire movie is worried about him, basically in the entire film, but he's not like on screen for that much time.
He's not a constant threat, and that he's not right behind you at all times, even though he in some ways
could
be.
A lot of the tension is like, boy, I sure hope I don't fall asleep, because then Freddy will mess with me.
Right.
As opposed to, oh man, I'm asleep and Freddy's here messing with me.
Right. But I mean, so to get back to your question, I think the only 80s horror movies that I can think of that really are actually legitimately good movies are The Thing and The Shining. I think those are both actually really incredible horror that really still work and hold up. But I think for what this movie is attempting to be, the way that you describe it of, yeah, it's campy horror and it's fun, it's not really that scary though, I think is what they really want to go for this kind of thing. I don't think this is intended to really be that scary. And as I'm saying that, I'm thinking back over like, oh yeah, wait, it's really hard to scare me in movies. So maybe they are trying to be scary with it. And there are definitely
They lean into like punny jokes and stuff with Freddy, though. Right?
This is where that starts. Yeah, that hadn't been true in the previous movies.
True,
yeah.
And like, granted, I don't remember seeing either of the previous two. Mm-hmm. But you talk about it intentionally being kind of campy and kind of funny. I think they lean into it, because when you get him saying like, hey, "It's prime time, bitch," and then he shoves a girl's head through a TV, it's like, yeah, that's violent and creepy, mm-hmm. but it's like he's making a joke during it. So they're intending for it to be funny.
I think that's the case to some degree. I think it's meant to be irreverent, I guess. I would say that I wonder how this plays to an audience that doesn't have the past 40 years of horror and media to go with it. Like, I mean, in some ways, this was it kind of pioneering that 80s horror of like gore and schlock. And so I wonder how, like, because there are genuinely moments of this that like make me a little uncomfortable. Like when the puppet guy is getting like his tendons pulled out of his body and used as puppet strings.
The body
on him,
horror stuff is
that's
gross.
Really creepy. Or when, you know, Nancy's, you know, sitting over the guy that's in a coma and Freddy cuts words into his chest while she's sitting there watching.
Right.
Moments like that, I think, do still hit pretty hard. Like, if you're into that kind of thing and the type of person to be scared by a movie, then yeah, I think those are gonna get you at least a little bit if you're watching it with that intent.
But to me, that's not even creepy. Like, that stuff bothers me a lot. When we watched The Descent last week, there's the scene where the character breaks a leg and her shin bone is like poking out, and they've got to like yank on her leg to try and set it and stuff. And it's gross. I couldn't watch it. It like gave me the jeebies. But that's not like a scary thing.
See,
that's a like
disturbing.
It's disturbing and gross, but it's like I'm not like sitting driving home in my car like, oh, I wonder if there's a broken bone in my back seat. Oh no,
is it just gonna stick out of my leg?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so in this movie, it kind of hits the same notes. Like one of the very first kills we see is this this whole thing takes place in a
mental ward
for teenagers specifically. There's all these teenagers who have sleep-related problems, mm-hmm. right? And then they're all like, it's all, you know, it's Freddy. And, of course, the doctors don't believe him at all, right?
Right, especially the one worst doctor ever.
Very old-school psychiatrist, jeez. I guess. But one of the earliest kills we get is one of those kids has a sleepwalking disorder.
Right.
And when he's sleepwalking, like in the dream world, we see it's Freddy and he's like pulled all the tendons out of his arms and legs. And is using them to marionette the kid down the hall.
Earlier we had seen this kid, you know, he makes puppets in his spare time. Yeah. So like it's going along with the traditional horror irony thing when you're killing somebody.
Sure.
Right. And then later the girl that really wants to make it big in Hollywood when she gets older.
Right. She's the one that gets
from a TV.
She gets shoved into a television.
Exactly. Right. So like, yeah, of course it's all, you know, it's all thematic to the individual who's being killed.
Right.
For like four out of the seven, probably.
Well, it kind of
lets it down a little bit.
I'd say the girl that, you know, she doesn't want to get hooked on drugs again and Freddy kills her via overdose. That's another good one. I think the only one where it doesn't really fit the irony is when the kid is like, I'm going to use nerd shit on you. And Freddy's just like, nah, nerd shit doesn't work on me.
Both those kills were so lame. Yeah. Like, the marionette was really intense. And the one after that, one was that?
The TV?
Yeah, the TV kill, of course. That one's also really severe, but the wizard and the other one.
See,
the drugs.
I
agree.
That character just kind of like, you see your veins popping out and then she just kind of disappears and I forgot all about her.
The veins like on her arms as little mouths, I think is an image that has stuck with me. I think that's a really cool image.
It makes me think of like the Muppets, like Muppet Treasure Island when like the barnacles on the side of the ship start singing.
I want to see someone to like.
It reminds me of like Little Shop of Horrors when Audrey 2's little tiny plant mouths start singing along.
Right. It's not fair. I want to see them like opening up and they're singing a song.
Yeah. It may
we sure love heroin.
It may be that I've had some people who have had addiction as a like big part of their lives and so that's why it like stands out
it,
to
like,
me more
hits
as
a little
thing.
Harder.
Yeah.
For you.
Sure. But at the same time, I definitely see where you're coming from. They aren't like photorealistic little mouths or something like that. And like this is the kind of thing that I think generally works better in animation than it does in, I guess, claymation, which is what.
Well, but even like. Talking about because I don't need it to be photorealistic, but because you can go over the top past like realism in a way that still makes you feel like visceral reaction to it.
Sure.
Right. And going back to the one we were initially talking about, the kid with who gets his tendons pulled out.
Yeah.
And he's getting walked into. He gets walked over to the edge of a tower, and then Freddy like cuts the strings and he falls off and dies. Right. That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's not scary.
Yeah.
That's very just like, ew, imagine like them pulling those tendons out of your arm. Like,
right.
That would hurt. But my body kind of recoils and cringes, but I'm not feeling any fear. I'm not feeling any tension from that.
Yeah, it's not really scary, but I would say it is horrifying.
I think that the biggest thing holding this movie back is the acting, honestly. Like,
Is real bad.
I think Freddy does a good job with his part. I think basically every other character is awful.
our girl who's a, like, the girl we first get introduced to.
Our
the
main
one,
character girl?
No, because I'd argue that Nancy is our main character girl.
I can see why, but I think that the way the movie's structured, it's structured around the girl at the beginning being the main character of this movie.
I think she's like what drives the plot along is Nancy interacting with this girl.
Hmm.
But I still think we're mostly following Nancy as she's reacting to what's going on with the kids and her like realizing what they have to do. She takes charge and tells the kids. She tells the psychiatrist what to do. She tells the kids what to do. She leads the charge against Freddy. And in the end, she's the one who's like fighting off Freddy when he eventually dies.
To be fair, you could also argue that the like the head psychiatrist dude, not the evil, horrible harpy
Bill Mayer who listens to her.
Right. You could argue that he's the main character because he's the one who actually defeats Freddy in the end, I think. But I see what you're where you're coming from. This is a movie that is very much an ensemble piece. I mean, it's not a good ensemble piece, but it is.
It's not ensemble. Typically, like, makes you think that there's a lot of like big names,
right?
In
right.
Here. Like, but I mean, man, Mamma Mia sure was an ensemble, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the sense that they are all sharing the spotlight in a pretty even way.
They
like,
just got all the rejects from the Breakfast Club.
You're not wrong. This is like the horror Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Scrubs.
Oh man, can you believe the ensemble? They got Lawrence Fishburne and Rodney Eastman. Oh boy.
Patricia Arquette. Oh my God.
She played, I got Patricia Arquette was the little girl. Uh-huh. She was the one that was doing gymnastics and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't actually know who she is. I just know that name.
I've heard her name in a number of other like, oh, and, you know, Patricia Arquette's in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm, okay, like, I don't know who that is, but apparently she's in this thing.
Right, right, right.
I'm just looking, like, she was in Toy Story 4 and Law and Order and a bunch of other ones that I've not seen. But, all right, really cool. Yeah. But, yeah, like, going back, it just, the movie doesn't scare me at any point.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's a terribly scary movie. I think it's a fun movie. Now, again, you've got to consider that I don't have the sensitive horror meter that maybe you do, Josh. But I do think that
But that's what I'm saying, right? Because you were saying, like, it didn't scare me, but what horror movies do. So I don't know how bad it is. And right. I'm over here like, look, I get frightened of my shadow after a scary movie, and this one was just kind of like I was chuckling along with
it. I'm going to laugh when you go home and like you fall asleep, and then an hour later you text me like, Rick, why did you make me watch this scary movie? My dreams are all about being murdered.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, why did Sarah bring all these steak knives to bed?
Why won't she stop grabbing my tendons?
It's weird, too, because at different points it definitely... like, it will ramp up the tension and then just kind of like deflate it all for the sake of a joke.
Right.
Especially when, like, I do enjoy, because I feel something for the kids, a few of them. There's mm-hmm. some of the kids where I'm like, oh man, they, and maybe it's just the quality of their acting, but the girl who like really wants to be punk rock and wants to be badass, and the first kid that dies, you know, the one who makes puppets and everything.
It
I can feel their frustration with not being listened to and not being heard by the asshole lead psychiatrist lady.
Grandma Boomer.
Yeah, Grandma Boomer.
Who is the reason why all of the kids grew up in the 70s got so jacked up on drugs is because they were just kind of like, fuck you, Grandma.
Because this grandma, this lead psychiatrist is in there like, these dreams aren't because of some Freddy Krueger, quote unquote. It's because you all have rampant guilt running through your lives and sexual deviations.
Yeah.
Now,
if you would just embrace puritanism.
And if you don't stop being bad, then you're very bad children, and I hate you.
The reason that your friend committed suicide was that he was weak.
And cowardly.
And cowardly.
He took the coward pussy way out. I can't believe him. And none of you are allowed to do suicide now. Suicide is forbidden. And if you do it, you're very bad, and you should feel lots of guilt.
Seriously, she is one step away from, like, fucking she's Palpatine.
She's this movie's Nurse Ratched.
She really is.
So she's like the psychiatrist that, quote, did her own research on what psychiatry was all about.
I mean, to be fair, I think there was a point where this was pretty much like what psychiatry was. I don't know if that point was the 80s or not, but like...
Yeah. It was definitely
beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll just electrocute the crazy out of you.
That or just like cut into your brain until your emotions stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That'll fix the problem,
right?
How
much brain can we remove before you get to vegetable status?
We just like slice it up and then take the knife out.
Because the kids constantly complain about night terrors, right? They say we've got these night terrors, and there's like a common thread throughout all of our night terrors, mm-hmm. right? Which is creepy in itself,
right?
Just from like not even knowing that it's Freddy Krueger. Because knowing that it's Freddy Krueger, it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense. They all have the dreams as Freddy, right?
Right.
But if you don't know what's going on, then to have... like all of these kids share the same nightmare is kind of creepy.
Right. Yeah. Right? Although to be fair, like there could be a argument made for like some cross pollination of like, oh yeah, you dreamed about a scary burn man. Now I'm dreaming about a scary burn man.
Except for the fact that they were sharing the same dream before they even knew each other.
Yep.
They
all talked about sharing, about having that dream before any of them got admitted. And then,
which is why I can almost see the logic behind this must be a shared emotional response in a generalized fashion that like in a Freudian sort of thing evokes a specific image within your dreams.
Yeah, but usually that kind of thing is like, oh, it is common for people to have a dream about falling.
Or like your teeth falling out of your mouth, or you're at school and you're naked and also there's a test you can study for.
Sure. Things that are like, you know, like, oh, people are worried about their health. People are worried about falling, I guess. Right. Like,
not a testicle man who's trying to disembowel you.
Yeah, that's not like a common, oh man, the part of our childhood where we all had the creepy neighborhood testicle guy.
To be fair, all of these kids clearly grew up on the same street with this known child murder.
No, they didn't grow up on the same street.
They all grew up on Elm Street.
No, they didn't.
Their parents
grew up on Elm Street, and then they all moved.
No, their parents grew up on Elm Street while they were, like, the kids were there, and the parents killed Freddy because... No, the parents weren't 12-year-olds going out and murdering Freddy. The parents went and killed Freddy because he was, like, trying to kill their kids.
No, the parents grew up on
that,
Elm Street.
That was the first movie.
Because Nancy even says, we're the children of the Elm Street kids.
Right.
They're not Elm Street kids themselves.
Let's appeal to authority. What does the first movie actually have in its contents?
What does the first movie...
In the first movie, do they actually kill Freddy? And these are...
The first movie has the same backstory of like the kids who are on that in that movie are also being haunted by Freddy because the parents murdered them.
Gotcha. Okay. Like, never mind.
Yeah,
that authority does not exist.
You looking it up, Josh? You looking it up where it says Rick is right about these movies that he's seen?
Nancy reveals to the remaining patient that they are the last of the Elm Street kids, the surviving children of the people who banded together and burned Freddy Krueger to death many years ago.
Oh, look. I was
the
right.
The kids live in different areas now. But their parents all grew up on Elm Street, and so that's why they're called the Elm Street kids.
So,
see?
My point is...
Maybe they had their kids in their 40s.
So my point... I mean, these kids, they must have, because Nancy's at least theoretically an adult now. But my point is that, like, if you've got their shared backstory, and Freddy is a well-known enough person that there are like nursery rhymes that kids creepily sing about him, which
that's
is a
just
thing
for atmosphere,
which is a thing outside of the dreams in other movies. I think that you could probably make the argument that these kids all knew about him and that's why they have this shared dream about him. Now, the movie that we actually watch does not make that argument, and it would be better if it did.
I looked it up though, because Freddy's mortal death took place in 1968.
Yeah.
Which is like 20 years before this movie takes place.
And all these kids are like 20.
No, all these kids are teenagers.
Not in this movie.
Yeah, the little girl.
It's ambiguous.
They are teenagers.
They are
playing D&D.
Also,
and
you said 68?
Yeah.
This movie takes place in 1985.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So they were 3-year-olds.
I was 3 years off.
Great. These kids were 3-year-olds.
Yeah, but you
these are the last of the
parents. Their parents.
These are the last of the Elm Street kids. If their kid parents were banging and having kids
at
like 12.
No, in their 20s.
No, these are the last of the kids. These were the youngest kids when Freddy was killed. That's why they're the last. They're on the lowest end of that bell curve. You're just trying to fight that you're wrong.
I don't think so. I think I'm right.
No, you're an idiot.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm right. You should look it up.
So
somewhere.
Freddy is now going after the grandkids of
do
the
your
people
own
who
him?
Okay. Freddy Krueger goes around. He's a real bastard. He's murdering a bunch of people.
Bunch of children.
Yes. Group A... People group A are like, hey, that's bad. We don't like that.
We don't want you to murder any more of our children.
Children in general. We don't have kids yet. We're too young.
It's on
that.
A specific
They're
street.
It's on Elm Street. They're going to go murder Freddy Krueger.
Why are you assuming that
Freddy Krueger then is like a dream demon? And he's like, well, I'm pissed. I can't believe you would kill me just for murdering some kids. So now I'm going to murder your kids just to be a dickhead. So he waits for a little bit until they start having kids. And then once they start having kids, then he can go and start killing them.
So why are they the Elm Street kids if their parents
just
murdered them?
No, they're the kids of the
them?
Elm Street kids.
No, they're not. He says you are the last of the Elm Street kids.
Whatever. It doesn't even matter. How do we even get up? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're the last
you decided
of the kids.
This was a hill to die on.
Even after the Wikipedia told you were wrong.
I'm going back and editing that article.
I want to say, I think that the different dreamscapes and the different effects that are present throughout the movie are actually really good. Like, they're not at all scary. In like a like,
what do you
I
mean
feel
by
scared.
Dream effects?
Like, I mean, like when Freddy's a penis snake, or like
the okay. giant
when
worm eating.
Yeah,
what's her
you
name?
Just mean the practical effects in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think like that, the set design of the dream worlds, all of that, I think is really strong and really fun because it comes up with a lot of really cool images. I think the only effect that really, really doesn't work for me is when they've got like the little Newton's cradle that's going back and forth, and it like pops out, and like they float around the room in somehow worse than the 3D effects. In Event Horizon.
Yeah. Right, and that's when they pivot from the practical effects in this film are really strong, whether it's Freddy's animatronic face or the penis body we see just prior to
or
that.
Or even the claymation. Like, or you know, it's claymation.
The marionette tendons that are being pulled up into the ceiling. It's when they pivot to the special effects, that's when it's just like, ooh, this hasn't aged well at all.
This was the 80s. Oh.
I was going to say, I like a lot of the special effects where he's going, and you know, you talked about it starts with him being the weird worm thing that's trying to eat Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
And that it, one of the things that it does is, especially later on towards the end of the movie, where he's like, I guess, possessing a bunch of cars and he's like a creepy skeleton and he like possesses his old bones to fight in the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
It's got like a history, science, theater stuff going on, and then like the upper body of the skeleton is like in the same plane as the movie screen, which is jiggling around in compared to the characters behind it.
Right, right. That are being like projected on it. Yeah,
right.
I like that. This movie, you've heard the terms like hard sci-fi versus soft sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
This feels like soft horror, where it's just it. It does a good job of, it's we're doing this because it's spooky and it's creepy, and why shouldn't he have these powers? And screw you, we don't really, like, aside from the bit where he shows up in dreams, he can also show up in an abandoned car lot, because why not, right?
We don't have to justify every little detail of what he can do. Yeah, and I think that a part of that is just the nature of what Freddy is to begin with. Like, when you've got some kind of, like, creepy dream demon, then I think that you are allowed a little more leeway in terms of what they can do than if you have, say, like a werewolf. Like a werewolf is, at least in theory, a
physical
creature.
There's a reason why it turns into a werewolf. Right. There's things that specifically stop it from being a werewolf.
Exactly.
It has claws and teeth.
Yeah. There's specific rules that we all know that go along with a werewolf. And so if you want to deviate from that, you have to explain it and explain why. But when you have something like Freddy, which doesn't really have a rule set, because Freddy isn't really a specific kind of monster, I think you can play with that a lot more, and you can have a lot more leeway to just justify things, especially when you have a creepy ghost nun around to like explain his backstory. And it's not like a backstory that leads you to a conclusion of like, oh, Freddy's actually a vampire, and so the reason that we need to beat him is with the cross and shit.
Yeah, his backstory is just like, hey, here's the super fucked up way that he came. His mom was tortured and raped by a million evil inmates, and now
rape and then child murder turns you into a demon,
and now he's a demon. But even his demon status isn't like it's funny because they call him a demon at multiple points, but he's not like a traditional Judeo-Christian demon.
No,
like, there's no like Freddy Krueger is an agent of Satan himself.
Right,
he's evil bad guy.
It's almost akin to an Oni. In the Japanese
kind of,
way of thinking,
yeah.
Except for in the, I'm about to say mythology, but it's not really the right word for it. I guess spiritualism or lore.
Sure.
But an Oni is not necessarily an evil spirit. This one obviously is, but it's the kind of thing that's created by it actions and atmosphere.
Right. The negativity of the world kind of creates him.
Right.
He goes on to perpetrate that, which makes them kill him, which perpetrates even more. You know, it's just kind of a cycle of
cascades,
violence type thing. Yeah.
Well, but I like that they use, like, it does the classic, like, he'll hate this crucifix, and I'm going to scoop up some holy water just in case, and then we got to bury him on sanctified ground, because that'll stop him.
And that stuff all actually works for once.
It does, because he's just an evil demon monster. But I like just how loose they are with their own rules.
Yeah.
And other times where it doesn't work nearly as well in other movies, not specifically Elm Street movies, and I think that's because in other movies where they play a little fast and loose with their rules, they've also, like, in character, in movie, try to explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's just like, don't fall asleep. If you do, you're fucked, right? And that's the only rule that exists. And sometimes Freddy breaks that one too.
Right,
because he breaks all the rules, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, we're at the third movie in this series, so they've already really kind of used up a lot of the best, like, I've got to keep myself awake bits of what you can do with Freddy. So I like that this movie has that aspect to it, but the focus is less on let's, you know, really, really avoid falling asleep, and more of a like, all right, if we're going to fall asleep at some point, let's find a way to kick Freddy's ass while we're in there.
Which seems weird to me, because like, what has given you the impression that, like, I guess the whole, like, once you enter the dream, because Nancy, the character who's survived Freddy at least once in a previous movie, she's come in, she's like, I believe you mentally insane children. Like,
right.
Here, let me be your spirit guide to killing Freddy, right?
Yeah.
And so when they jump into when they go to the dream world together, she's like, oh, what's your dream power? Because, you know, you can, like, you can do stuff in dreams that you can't do in real life.
Right.
And so I thought, like, okay, that would make sense at least. Like, oh, we're going to have a game plan for attacking Freddy. One kid, his powers are he's, like, a magic wizard that can shoot lightning bolts and power bolts out of his hands and stuff. And I'm like, okay, makes sense. Cool. Might do something against Freddy. Let's see. The other Patricia Arquette, her ability is gymnastics.
Right. She gets super agile.
She can do some flips.
Yeah.
Not good enough against the demon that can turn into a child-eating snake penis.
Right, you might as well have, like, dreamed about being a kung fu master. That's, like, gymnastics adjacent, and also you can kick a lot of ass.
It's close. I feel like that's
kind
of
how she. I think that's how she kind of plays it. I mean, she's always jumping around and kicking Freddy. Like, it's not like she's just doing backflips and cartwheels to beat him up.
Yeah, but he's,
he is mostly
he's
gymnastics
back
to avoid him.
He's falling back and taking it on the chin, like, to be nice to her.
Right.
It's not actually doing anything.
He feels bad for her.
She should have used it as like a backstab type thing. Like, get in the good.
I've murdered a lot of kids, but this is pretty sad.
One of the other kids, their ability is that their dream power is that they're really pretty, but also badass, right?
This is the one. Really pretty by her standards.
By her own standards.
By any other
really pretty
standards.
Really goth.
Ridiculously
meaning
looking.
She's got glitter on her tits, and she's got a giant, like, 3 foot tall mohawk.
Right, and she's got leather on.
And she's
two
got
little switchblades.
Like, sexy leather, like pretend biker leather.
And she's got two itty bitty little switchblades.
Yeah, right. like 3 inches
long. Yeah.
Which is better than no weapons. But that's still not enough to go. Freddy has 5 blades that are already longer than that.
Yeah.
If you want to be like 80s badass, like just have like 2 baseball bats.
Right. Yeah, for
if
sure.
If they stood at opposite ends of a mosh pit and whirlwinded their way towards each other with their knives drawn, Freddy would win by default just because he's got longer knives. Just dream yourself bigger knives. There's another kid whose dream power is that he gets laid, which is not helpful at all. It's not helpful. It's realistic, right? You got a horny teenage boy. Like, in your dreams, you get laid. Sure, not helpful.
If you're offering me these dream powers, though.
In fact, it works against it. So not only is he horny, he's also mute in real life.
His actual power is that when he speaks, he can speak like super loud. Like he can shriek and break stuff.
I guess.
I'm not saying it's like good. I'm just saying that's what his actual power is. His power wasn't that he got laid. That's how Freddy got
his
him.
His power
in,
is
in
one that he cannot use.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the burly black kid who's been like, he's been the bad boy of the group the whole time. He's the one always telling the psychiatrist to go fuck off and he's not going to take their meds. Right.
Right.
His ability is that he's strong enough now to break through rotting wood and plywall and drywall.
He bend that metal chair up into a pretzel. So that was pretty cool.
They did make that look pretty good.
But then he like, did he punch Freddy?
Yeah.
Once?
And it didn't work at all.
And it didn't help.
He got like grabbed by his throat and picked up and was on the verge of death rather quickly.
To be fair, this was super powered Freddy because he had the souls of extra children in him. So like he had extra powers.
It doesn't make sense because he's already murdered so many children. Mm-hmm. How is it
an
now
extra
that,
4?
Like,
suddenly he's juiced.
Is it just fresh?
Yeah,
is it like, I got those fresh baby souls.
It's like a buff in a video game. You know, it's gonna fade over time as he devours them. Yeah.
Yeah. He becomes Super Freddy for 30 seconds and then wears off.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking, like, if I'm going to have a dream power and I know it's going to be involved with Freddy Krueger, I'm going to make my power that I can have a 50 caliber machine gun pop out of my chest.
I'm going to have a long range power. That's the one that makes sense. Right. That's why, like, when you, wizard.
Let's talk about the wizard.
Up.
The wizard, dude. Okay. I'm okay with it not working, right? Because we've established that in the dreamscape, like, Freddy kind of just does whatever he feels right. like.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
There's no rules of, like, if you shoot him in the head, he takes extra damage. Like, it's just, nah. You killed that Freddy. It turns out that wasn't the real Freddy. That was just right. a dream of a dream of Freddy. And he's right. over here stabbing you in the butt while you're thinking about that or whatever.
And all the other powers are reliant on practical effects, except for this one, which is entirely special effects. And it does not go well.
It's okay. It's like your classic, like, this is like the original, like, Star Wars A New Hope, like, blaster fire.
Right.
Where it's like...
Or the Emperor's lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, this is drawn, clearly.
It's fine for the time. It wasn't the silver balls that you were talking about where, like, they used the newfangled up-and-coming 3D CGI, right? Mm-hmm. It was like the old classic. But this one at least makes sense. And I like that this kid's like... It ties in because, what was his, like, what kid was he? Was he the nerdy kid? Was he the horny kid? Was he the black kid?
Right.
He was the nerdy kid. He played D&D and also was in a wheelchair. So in this world, he can stand up and he likes D&D. So now he's a wizard master and it works. And I like that this power actually seems like a power as opposed to just,
he just annihilates
I can do
his,
better somersaults in the dream world.
He makes his hell chair just explode.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, I kind of... Okay, if you're gonna become a wizard and gain the powers of you know, to control all of reality and all this shit, get a better fucking cloak, bro. Like, this is not even, like...
Rick.
This is bad vampire cloak, not even cool wizard cloak, or even bad wizard cloak.
It doesn't even fit him. It looks like they took a costume and attached it to a stick and then they held it up to his neck from the way that, like, it does not fit... on his body.
Exactly. Probably. No, it's terrible.
Rick, you know that you go for the biggest stat boost, not what looks the best.
I mean,
he's like, it looks dumb, but it's like a plus 12 intelligence.
Well, he's a wizard. Where's his staff? Have a dope staff, and if that be all about it.
Yeah, sure. Like, just give him, like, something with a crystal on the end of it.
And put a bunch of, like, light bulbs on it and make it look kind of weirdly space age.
Oh, no, like, this is from D&D. Like, it's not like a video game thing. Like, they didn't even have characters that got new character models back then, Josh.
Yeah, but this is back with, like, Thacko and all that bullshit. So, like, he already wasn't working with, like, the good modern D&D.
But so if he's a D&D player, he should know, like, at least the basics of strategy, right? You don't have your wizard
Squishy.
Yeah, you don't have your wizard run over
That's
and get into
issue.
Melee combat with your freaking, like, demon monster
boss.
You
want to use magic missile, you want to use fireball, or, like, the less powerful version of that, like, firebolt or whatever. Like, case in point, stay far away.
Exactly.
He'd already expended those spells when he did the little lightning bolts. So now the last few he had were touch spells. He
That's
had to go
what
do
it is.
Burning hands.
Yeah.
The Archmage cast one spell and now he's tapped.
Look, he burned his spell slots using stand up.
It's not like he can rest and get more.
Yeah, he can't go to sleep. I'll take a long rest. I'm back, bitch. Gosh, someone needs to put that into a D&D campaign. Like,
yes.
When the party goes down for a long rest.
A demon, like, comes and attacks them.
A demon who only attacks during long rests.
And so they don't have any powers.
Yeah, they don't have their stuff.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Write that down for my next campaign.
But his powers at least make the most sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's... And don't piss me off because they're not super freaking lame.
Right. I'm kind of mad that Nancy didn't have a power, it seems like.
Yeah, it is a little weird, especially since she's the one that's like, hey, everyone, figure out what your power is, because when you come into the dream world, you have one.
Right. Like, I wonder if it's... So in the first movie, I think she could bring stuff back out with her. Like, at one point, she got Freddy's hat, and that's how she proved it to all the other friends that she had.
Okay.
So maybe it just didn't come up in this movie because it wouldn't have been useful.
I guess, but like... Wake up and bring all the kids with you?
Right. Maybe, why can't you change what your dream power is to match the circumstances every time you fall asleep?
Right. Like, maybe, you should be able to do that.
It's a dream,
I guess,
dude.
Maybe my 3-inch switchblade was a bad idea. I'm going to switch it out for a machete.
The way that it works is, I think it's your power is what you dream you are when you're asleep. So you don't really
persona.
Have control of it. Yeah, exactly.
So it only works if you're like a lucid dreamer?
I guess so.
Man, that makes it even worse.
Why weren't any of them furries?
Sonic just comes in with like an 8-foot erection.
Sonic 2, what are you doing here?
I'm here to make love to you and kill Freddy, and I'm all out of Freddy.
And I'm all out of Power Rings.
I just have
that, no, that makes it even worse then if it's like what you lucid dream as yourself, because then it's even worse that Patricia Arquette can do some somersaults and cartwheels.
And also, like, none of them can fly. That's the number one thing you do if you can lucid dream.
That's hard to do for special effects, though.
Is it?
All you need is a wire. We proved that with the stupid hell chair thing. You just give it a little tug.
My dream is that I'm on wires. And Puppet Boy's over in the corner like, me too.
My dream is that I'm a bigger, stronger Freddy. And so now it's Freddy versus Freddy, but I'm the bigger, stronger one.
Or maybe just that I'm invincible.
Mm. Yeah, I have the Mario invincibility stuff.
There you go.
Gosh, do you remember when we had that whole Twitter argument about who would win? It was like Ultimate Instinct Goku versus Mario with an invincibility star. He can have as many invincibility stars as he wants.
Right. And everyone's very mad that they didn't read the prompt and so they didn't understand what you were saying.
And then someone just came in and spent legit like 2 days, like 8 hours a day of tweets just asking what the definition of invincibility was.
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly. Motherfucker, it makes him invincible. How do you not understand?
Step to lava.
Yeah. Just give me one of those stars when I'm going in to fight Freddy.
Oh, man. Okay. So I think that a way that you could drastically improve this movie is if you have Freddy start attacking the staff as well, but you make it look like it was the kids that did
it. I was surprised Lawrence Fishburne didn't get involved.
Yeah, me too.
Because the way that he was interacting, where he was like... Because in the movie, you expect there to be the, like, oh, I'm like a good guy, but I don't believe you because this sounds too crazy to be real. And Bill Mayer, psychiatrist, played that for a little bit. But man, they won him over way too fast.
They did. They definitely did.
So I felt like Lawrence Fishburne, because Lawrence Fishburne is one, he's like one of the nurses there at the psych ward. And he genuinely, like we see in the movie, he genuinely cares about all these kids.
Yeah.
And also he don't take no shit. Like he's going to make sure that they're taken care of. And if that involves locking them in their rooms so they can't go out and hurt themselves, then he's going to do it. Because he does what's right, damn it. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought that he'd be the one that they eventually win over to their side and he comes in and helps with the fight.
Yeah.
But, just, you know, he was just there for a couple scenes and then he didn't matter anymore.
Exactly. And when he sees that a child has apparently, as far as he can tell, jumped and just yeeted her face about a foot deep into a television.
Into a television that's 5 feet off the ground.
He asked no questions.
And just none at all.
Ah, damn, another one. These suicidal teens, it breaks my heart.
So hard that she is like shoulders deep in the TV stuck.
She is hanging
there
from the television.
That is she is.
Image.
She is.
Good Lord. No, I think that this movie would have been really interesting if like Freddy started attacking the staff and he got blamed on the kids, and then that made their situation even worse. Because then, like, you could have Freddy like kill the good one in Lawrence Fishburne, and then they're stuck even more with the like crooked harpy nurse ratchet bitch.
Because you kind of get the seeds for that already when like you see Freddy marionette walk the first dude out, so he can
walk
the
guy that sleepwalks.
Mm-hmm. There's the guy that sleepwalks. It would work real well with horny Joey, who's mute and horny, and so like he could be controlled to be too horny with one of the nurses, and she's just like,
oh, I thought you meant Lawrence Fishburne.
He gets real horny with Lawrence Fishburne, and Lawrence Fishburne is like, Joey, that's very inappropriate. I can't believe you.
I'll have to quit now.
Yeah, exactly. Or like,
well, maybe when he's trying to like take a peek into the women's locker room, he almost gets caught and he runs and he accidentally like pushes a cart over that happens to have a flammable liquid and it catches, and all of a sudden like the asylum is burning.
Yeah, stuff like that.
That's another thing that feels like a really loose end is the creepy night nurse. So there's another nurse there in the psych ward who's
total pedo.
Yeah, he's like hitting on like in a very creepy like, hey, why don't you come get some?
Yeah, he's basically
I'll give you drugs.
Yeah, the drug addicted girl. He's basically walking up like, hey, girl, guess what? I've got access to all the drugs I know you want.
I'll give you some pills if you suck my wiener.
Exactly.
He's being that creepy asshole, right? And it's set up to where either like, oh, maybe Freddy possesses him, and then like he gets killed that way, or like, He takes it too far in the middle of the kids trying to fight Freddy off, and he gets stabbed and dies as collateral damage or something.
Right, right.
But he's just a creepo, and then it never gets addressed. It's just dropped.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you it happens so that the girl who's who was a drug addict, mm-hmm. the one who wants to be pretty and badass, who gets the right. big mohawk,
yeah.
you can see that she's really serious about avoiding these drugs or yeah. something like
just
that.
Just generically exacerbates the plight of the children.
Yeah, it's there to like establish she is a former drug addict, and so when she is killed by Freddy via needles, like mm-hmm. it will make sense.
I guess. But like we've already established that through earlier backstory when they're going around like introducing themselves.
Right, but this just hammers it home. Like this gives you a little more like.
But it's
at
the expense of the rest of the story, though. Like you're hammering a point home, but you're also creating loose ends for yourself.
In the term of the night nurse, yeah, I do agree with that. I think that I wonder if like in the original script there was a way that he got dealt with and it just didn't end up on the screen. Mm. Maybe they ran out of money to film his death scene or something like that.
Similar to how like. The head psychiatrist, like Nurse Ratchet lady.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe him at all. And there's no scene where, because there should be a scene where she learns the error of her ways and sees that they were right all along. And there's,
right.
There's
or she makes herself vulnerable to Freddy and just winds up getting murdered.
Something like that, yeah.
And there's none of those. So, I don't know. It's weird. I'll start off our final thoughts by saying that I think that's probably... you know what? I take it back. I was going to say that was my least favorite part of the movie was all the loose ends. Mm. But I think my least favorite part of the movie is just the quality of acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down with some bad, campy, B-rated, like, made-for-TV horror acting, mm-hmm. right? But to have Nancy... It's a shame that Nancy is the same actress as the one from the first movie. Like, obviously, I get why they did it, but... Boy, she's a bad actress.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I mean,
just do like a time skip, and therefore you don't have the same actress because now it's been 20 years.
Especially because mm-hmm. they try and make it look like she's way older than she actually looks in the movie.
Exactly.
They give her like this shock of white hair, but it's clear that she, it's like, you're like 25.
And it's not really about Nancy. It's about Freddy.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
continuity of the actress is something I feel like the audience could have looked over if they had chosen exactly. to go on that route.
Right.
So that's probably my least favorite part. My favorite part is Freddy being weird and having and like turning into weird shit, like mm-hmm. like turning into a TV and having like wiring hands that come out and grab kids, or like yeah. oh, in this scene Freddy turns into a sink and grabs you, and like I don't know, it's weird and
that
it's
must
goofy
have happened in one of those movies.
Yeah, and it's funny. You said that this is like the first movie where this kind of started, and I'm glad that they decided to take it this way. I think it's a fun. Creep. It's like a creepy and like he is a creep, not mm-hmm. a scary way, but like it's a fun way to take this franchise.
Yeah.
So overall, it's a fun enough movie. It's not scary, which is something I definitely appreciate in a Month of Spooks episode, but it's not great by any means. Mm. So I'll probably give it like 2.5 bitches out of 5.
All right, Caleb.
I think that my favorite thing about this movie is the practical effects. There are other components of this movie that aren't nearly as impressive, but that has aged well, and I don't even know how they managed to pull it off considering the time period in which it took place. Mm-hmm. So the practical effects are magnificent, and they create a good atmosphere. The sets are all really pretty, including the asylum. These kids have living quarters that are honestly enviable. They have like multiple rooms in them. It's a pretty sweet dig. That and the actual haunted house, even when they get into a Freddy's lair, all of it looks really good. My least favorite is probably The Breakfast Club. There's too many
the
loose
group
ends.
Of kids.
Yeah, they make too many decisions where that just seem dumb to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the chief issues of horror films is that it's always the case of like, don't go into that room. You hear a spooky sound. This is not how your survival instincts manage to keep you alive.
Sure. Right.
And
right.
this is another instance of that. So I think The Breakfast Club is just lame. and Nancy is perhaps the worst part of it, just because, like you said, she is not a good actress.
No.
And this franchise would be probably better off without her, quite frankly.
It's not enough to make it like... I don't like hate when she comes on screen because it fits with the like, this is a campy old horror movie. But she definitely is like, she stands out as being one of the worst acting performances in the movie.
Right.
In a movie full of bad performances.
Exactly.
And the rest are not necessarily a whole lot better or worse, but the one of the biggest issues for me is the powers that they use just seem like they were limited by the budget that they had available to them.
Right, yeah.
And they just chose a lot of really impractical things, and a whole bunch of them die as a consequence, and they deserve it.
Yeah.
With all that being said, I'm going to give this movie a 2.5 spooky claws out of 5.
All right, all right.
Take us home, Rick.
So Nightmare on Elm Street is kind of up there with like the legendary franchises of horror. You know, like this is one of those ones sort of like that's like Friday the 13th, where, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on, and there's so many of them. But I think that contrary to a lot of horror, and one of the reasons that this franchise lived as long as it did and stands out as long as it did, is one part Freddy just being an interesting bad guy in a way that you can play with in a lot of creative ways. But I also think it's a big part of that is that this movie took the original concept and expanded on it in a really interesting, fun way, in a very specific, fun way. So the originals, it's just, oh, there's, you know, a thing that haunts you in your dreams, and the way that you beat it is, I'm not afraid of you. But this movie expanded on that and gave the kids some new power and some ability to fight back. It didn't work out great for them in the movie by any means, but I think it built on what the previous movies had in a way that most don't. Like, you know, by Friday the 13th 4, Jason is still just walking around murdering kids before they have sex. Like, that's just his whole thing. I think that this movie expanding on the way it did is really what gave it its staying power. But my personal favorite thing about this movie is that it basically takes three separate plot lines and kind of makes them all work together. You've got the plot line of, like, what is Freddy's past? How do you kill him? You've got the plot line of the adults trying to help these kids, even though they don't really know how. And you've got the kids themselves trying to deal with this situation that they've been put in against their will. Mm-hmm. And I think that this movie juggles those three plot lines really well in terms of, like, how things develop, how these scenes interplay. And you never really lose sight of one of those three plot lines. And it works all to the movie's benefit. If this movie had good performances, I think it would genuinely go down as a real classic. But my least favorite thing, the performances. They're just terrible.
Yep.
It's just awful, bad acting. Like, hilariously bad. And it's like, I think that Heather Langenkamp, who plays Nancy, she comes off as the worst of these characters, but none of them are good. Like, they're just exactly what you expect. This is like almost high school play level acting.
So it's like, thank goodness they had props to fall back on to carry some of the weight for them.
Absolutely. And I think, honestly, one of the biggest problems is that the only of the main characters, the main kids that I really liked, dies first. I really like the kid that gets marionetted because he's got some personality to him and some sass to him, but he's also not a giant asshole. And so I think he would have worked really well as a face for this whole movie.
Yeah.
But instead they just murdered him immediately, which is unfortunate. Overall, though, I think that, like, as what this movie is, it's really, really good. I'm not going to say that it's a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I still think that it's very solid. And when it comes to 80s horror, this is kind of emblematic of exactly what I want from it. So I'm going to give this movie 4 out of 5 scratched messages on the chest of a unconscious comatose boy.
Yeah. Gross.
Oh, okay, I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 Freddy tongues lashing you to a bed, leading to an excellent pun.
Much better. If you want to hear more excellent tongue lashings, you can listen to our podcast on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends is the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.